Vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate Vasudevaya. From Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 12, entitled The Killing of Demon Aghasura, Text Number 20. Satyam Satyamarkakararaktam Uttarahanuvadghanam Adharahanuvadrodhas Tat pratichhaya yarunam Satyam markakararaktam Uttarahanuvadghanam Adharahanuvadrodhas Tat pratichhaya yarunam Translation. Thereafter they decided, dear friends, this is certainly an animal sitting here to swallow us all. Its upper lip resembles a cloud reddened by the sunshine, and its lower lip resembles the reddish shadows of a cloud. Text 21. Pratispardhete srikabhyam savyasavya nagodare Tunga Shringalayo Petas Petas Tadangstra Bhischapashyata. Translation. On the left and right, the two depressions resembling mountain caves are the corners of its mouth, and the high mountain peaks are its teeth. Text 22. Astritayam Margoyam Rasanam pratigarjati esham antargatam dhvantam etadapyantarananam. Translation. In length and breadth, the animal's tongue resembles a broad traffic way, and the inside of its mouth is very, very dark, like a cave in a mountain. Text 23. Davoshnakharavatoyam shwasavad bhati pashyata taddagdha sattva durgandho apyantaramesha gandhavat. Translation. The hot fiery wind is the breath coming out of its mouth, which is giving off the bad smell of burning flesh because of all the dead bodies he has eaten. Text 24. Asman kimatra grasita nivishatan ayam tatha ched bhakavad vinankshati chanad anene tibakaryushan mukham vikshyodhashanta karatadanayayu. Translation. Then the boys said, has this living creature come to swallow us? If he does so, he will immediately be killed by Bakasur without delay. Thus, they looked at the beautiful face of Krishna, the enemy of Bakasur, and laughing loudly and clapping their hands, they entered the mouth of the python. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada. After talking about the terrible animal this way and that way, they decided to enter the demon's mouth. They had full faith in Krishna because they had experienced how Krishna had saved them from the mouth of Bakasur. Now, here was another asura, Aghasur. Therefore, they wanted to enjoy the sport of entering the demon's mouth and being saved by Krishna, the enemy of Bakasur. in his commentary to this particular episode in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he writes as to what is the symbolism of Aghasur in our day-to-day lives. What does Aghasur represent? He says, Aghasur represents the nature of being cruel to others. Aghasur represents the impetus to be violent and unnecessarily cause trouble to others. And all of these impetuses and qualities are fanned, or they are supported by the underrunning quality of envy. So out of envy, wanting to cause harm to others, cause trouble to others, enviousness that leads to violence and being cruel to others is what Aghasur represents. At the same time, he also points out that Aghasur also represents the feeling that the living entities do not need Krishna consciousness. Or in this way, stopping oneself from benefiting others from receiving Krishna consciousness. So that is also representative of Aghasur. Srila Prabhupada, he opens up his commentary in his summary study on this particular pastime by saying in chapter 12, 10th canto, or chapter 12, Krishna book, he in the very first paragraph gives a contrast, the conclusion to which he gives in one line, one sentence. He says, all material arrangements for wanting happiness and a sense of immortality are ultimately unsure. But Krishna consciousness definitely assures us of absolute immortality. And that is his conclusion. He cites an example for this from this particular episode of Aghasur. He says, Aghasur has entered the playing grounds of Braj. He's lying down just on the banks of the Jamuna. He has crossed the river Yamuna and come to, from Mathura, he has come to Vrindavan, to actually Mahavan, Gokul, and its surrounding playing and pasturing grounds, and is lying in wait to kill Krishna. So this is a Premier League match that is being watched by many spectators, especially the demigods. And the demigods are sitting in their special booths, VIP booths, to watch this Premier League match. On one side is the demon Aghasur, and on the other side they're expecting Krishna to come in and participate. The demigods have placed their bets. They are backing Krishna. And it is not just a matter of earning just some profit. For them, it is like their life. It's a matter of life and death for the demigods. So where are their special booths? It's there in the sky behind the clouds. You know, they are behind their bulletproof, or let us say vision-proof, proof from the sight, that is, from Aghasur's sight. They do not want Aghasur to see them watching. So in that sense, it is vision-proof. But they can, one way looking glass, but they can peep down to see what's happening. Now, it's been a very long night and a very tiring morning. But the following comment by Srila Prabhupada would really bring out the humor that is there. Srila Prabhupada comments, the demigods are sitting in the clouds watching this match about to take place, drinking their nectar. Nectar that will give them immortality, but they are still fearful and are not sure of their immortality. It's very humorous. It's like me sitting in a Bhagavatam class knowing that this is rasamalayam, this is pure nectar, but I'm not sure of the immortality that is contained therein. So I'm there in the class, but I'm not really sure whether Krishna will win the match or not for me. So I have to take shelter of so many other factors like my mind and my senses, my body. Basically, whether it is going to be enjoyable for me, bhoga, or I'm going to reject it as being totally distasteful, tyaga. So Srila Prabhupada makes that commentary. He makes that comment. They're sitting in the clouds, drinking the nectar, not really sure of their immortality. It is a nectar of immortality which they're drinking. On the other hand, the cowherd boys are seeing the snake in front of them and Krishna is somewhere behind. Krishna is not leading them. You know? Like sometimes, if one becomes afraid, fearful in a situation, a typical situation, many of us have been through this. You know, everyone is fearful of the dark. No, this is a dark street. We are walking down the street and suddenly we hear some noise or some sort of apparition. It just, you know, starts looming in front of us. Now, we immediately bring forward whatever we have. You know, someone is a Christian, they bring out the cross. Someone else brings out the mala. Someone else starts chanting Hanuman Chalisa. We keep all these things in front and we are behind because we are sure this person in front will counteract that person ahead of us. So here is Aghasur. He's right there in front. The cowherd boys are seeing Aghasur. And we read today that the cowherd boys are, they look back at Krishna, not as if, hey Krishna, are you going to come in front of us or what? But yeah, Krishna is there. We'll just walk in. First of all, they're confident. Just see, simply associating Krishna gives such confidence. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Krishna book actually, that is Prabhupada's realization. He says, the cowherd boys were thinking that how can this demon swallow all of us at the same time? It's impossible. We are so many of us. Just try eating 4 rasgullas, 5 gulab jamuns, 3 sandesh at the same time. I mean, we may be a voracious eater, obviously. And these may be special preparations which are very tiny in size. But how many can you eat at one time? And maybe you can fit it into the mouth or swallow it down? It takes an effort to swallow it down. Even if it's a python or a python, it doesn't matter. So the cowherd boys are thinking, how will he swallow us all at this? The confidence that they can exude just because Krishna is there, that is immense. The mood of Vrindavan is complete dependence on Krishna, which gives rise to confidence. Rakhe Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rakhe ke. It's not a statement just to be used here and there, left and right. But it, this particular saying, it carries deep meaning. Many, many years ago, I had this little taste for hearing some kavya or kavita, especially, you know, sher, shairi, like that, kavitas. So there is one kavita that I remember, a kavi, it's in Hindi. And it's a typical, generally today what they write about someone whose heart has been broken by the partner, the opposite partner. So here is this person expressing that there are tears falling down my eyes now. If you have the feeling, then you may consider each drop to be pearls. If you don't have the feeling, you may consider it to be just salty water. Now in Hindi, when you say it, there is some rhyming there. But that is a feeling that the kavi, the poet brings forth. It depends on your feelings, right? Similarly, Rakhe Krishna Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke, if we have the feeling, it appears as the most precious jewel of shelter. And if you do not have the feeling, simply words that we can use as a preaching tool, or we can use as, you know, as a tool to express our knowledge and so on and so forth. So this is the quality of the cowherd boys. So Aghasur has entered town. The demigods are not really sure. The cowherd boys are very sure. And very interestingly, after a few verses, we are going to see that Krishna himself has to think a bit, as if he is not really sure what is happening. The only people who seem to be completely sure of what, as if the situation is in hand, are the cowherd boys. And that's the position of a devotee. A devotee has absolutely no fear. There's no duality. Maybe it appears apparently that Krishna is thinking, hey, what are you doing? Do you trust me so much? A devotee never really even has that inkling of a doubt. Completely sure. Especially the residents of Braj. In this whole episode, there is a particular point of view, or wanting to look at it at a different, at the point of view that I'm going to present is mainly from the aspect of Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Why does Krishna appear in this world? Now, as we are going to read the stories or the incidents from this 10th canto, it depends how we take it as stories or incidents or facts. It depends on our consciousness. We'll find it very, very intriguing and sometimes even fantastic. I mean, an 8-mile long python with its upper lip touching the sky, the lower lip in the ground, waiting to swallow Krishna and his friends. Seems fantastic. We are going to address that from the point of view of Krishna. We'll start off by saying that why does Krishna appear in this material world? Various reasons. There are n number of reasons. The one reason that we are going to take and based on that continue on the presentation is Krishna appears in this material world for his pastimes through which he gets some enjoyment. In the Srishti Leela, I think second canto, in one purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the entire affair of material creation actually is the pastime of the Lord or the enjoyment of the Supreme Lord in relationship with his external energy. Krishna is enjoying his external potency. And that enjoyment, if we look at it from our point of view, it results in the fire of so many trials and tribulations. But from Krishna's point of view, it is enjoyment. One understanding is that Krishna appears in this material world to enjoy his pastimes. And there is none in this world, in the three worlds, in this creation or even beyond this creation, beyond the material world itself that is as expert as Krishna in enjoying his pastimes. There's none. He's unparalleled. Therefore, his Rasa Raj, the best enjoyer of all mellows. There's no one equal to him. What to speak of better than him? Krishna's pastimes, at least we know the philosophy, and definitely Krishna knows the philosophy because Krishna spoke the philosophy. It is not for the first time that he is going to be tackling demons in Vrindavan. Srila Prabhupada gives the example that as the sun rises and sets in one place, as it is setting, it is rising up in another place. Krishna has killed Putana somewhere, and in another universe, Krishna is just being approached by Putana. And in this way, these pastimes are eternal. Doesn't Krishna get bored with the repetitiveness of all these pastimes? I mean, again and again, the same thing. N number of times. We read the pastime and like, okay, enough. Come on now, beat it. Do it in short. Putana came, wanted to offer milk. Krishna looked at her, closed his eyes, drank her milk, sucked out her life. Because the pastimes become repetitive. Then what to speak of Krishna? I mean, it becomes so repetitive day in and day out to do our sadhana. Sometimes we wonder, can't we do something different? Somehow or the other, there is some faith that, no, go on, do it. You know, there's some degree of faith and some surrender unto the spiritual master. But we would love to do it in a different way. If given an option. What about Krishna? I mean, he has all options. Don't the pastime become repetitive for him? Does Krishna ever think, enough is enough? Every time I have to come, I have to kill Aghasur, and all simply to save these conditioned souls? Hey, I would like to get out of this regular routine, you know. Just for these conditioned souls, I have to do it again and again. Kitne baar karun? Now, sometimes as preachers, we face this situation as when we are giving Krishna consciousness. How many times have I told you now, come, finish, this is all. I no longer want to be involved with this. Doesn't Krishna ever feel like that? It is too repetitive. Doesn't he get bored knowing that every time the result is going to be the same? This demon is going to come. He's going to jump up and down a little bit. I'm going to kill him. Every time I'm going to win, he's going to lose. There's no other result. I mean, like if I knew, if there is a match going on, a cricket match, and I've already, you know, put enough money on the fourth ball of the 48th over when the team is going to lose, and I'm going to win my money, what interest would I have in the match? You know, everyone is, would you like to see? Like, no, call me in the 48th over. Because I already know what is going to happen. Doesn't Krishna feel like that? Okay, Aghasur. Hey Krishna, look, it appears to be like a serpent. Does Krishna go like, I've done it before, come on. Let's get it over with. So doesn't it get boring for Krishna? Doesn't it get repetitive for Krishna? Doesn't Krishna get tired of match fixing? It's not like that. Why? Because there is a very important element in Krishna's pastimes that makes everything a bit different, and that is Jogamaya. Jogamaya is working 24 hours a day. She is working every single moment to think of and bring up so many special ways that Krishna's pastimes, which are nitya pastimes, they are nitya leela. In the sense, in the material world, they are nitya leela. Not just naimittik or for the time being, they are going on, as Prabhupada says, one universe after the other. But Jogamaya brings out such special nuances in those pastimes that even Krishna feels this is new. Even Krishna feels there is some excitement. Even Krishna feels some anticipation. Even Krishna starts thinking, what should I do now? They've all gone in. This is the service of Jogamaya in Braj. Imagine a service like that. To make Krishna's pastimes interesting to him again and again and again. Ultimately, Jogamaya knows all my arrangements are going to result only in one thing, a demon is going to be killed. She also knows. But still she is, it's like, you know, some devotees do so many festivals here. But then the team goes on changing because after some time the team knows what is going to be, what is going to happen. There are going to be, you know, 1 ton of flowers coming. They are going to be put on these deities for 2 hours, 3 hours. After that they will be taken in baskets and thrown. Now what is new in that anymore? So the organizers, they know. So the organizers, someone says, Prabhuji, please, can I do this? Aaja, aaja, tu bhi kya yaad rakhega? Please, you can do, come on. So Jogamaya, doesn't she get bored? Doesn't she get bored of doing that service, the same service again and again and again? No. Although Jogamaya knows how the result is going to be, she's working very hard to make it interesting for Krishna. Now, Jogamaya is Krishna's energy. So doesn't Krishna know what Jogamaya is going to bring? I mean, every husband knows what the wife is going to bring from the kitchen, generally speaking. I'm just speculating, but I guess that's how it is. In Brahmacharis, we know after 1 year, 2 years, kitchen mein kya hone wala hai? This thing. It's the same cooks, they have the standard menu, ISO standardized. It's going to be the same taste. So someone says, hey, come on, Prashad, thoda aaram karke aata hun, baad mein leta hun. So doesn't Krishna feel like that sometimes? Jogamaya is anyways going to do everything for me. Let me take a nap. Let me just take a back seat. He is also very much involved in the activities. This is the dynamics of Vrindavan. When we say Krishna's pastimes are repetitive, what does it mean? For example, in the Krishna book, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, at one point of time, Narada Muni visits Krishna and explains to him, my dear Lord, you have come here for this purpose, you have killed this, 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 and you will kill those. Narada Muni is coming and telling Krishna, I already know what you are going to do because you've done it before. You're going to kill Keshi, you're going to go to Mathura, you're going to kill Kansa. So Narada Muni knows that. So in that sense, Krishna's pastimes are Nitya Leela. In that sense, the match is already fixed. But in another sense, for Krishna to have enjoyment in those pastimes, see, this is the principle. Krishna has to enjoy those pastimes. Yogamaya is working very hard. Another question may arise. Like, you know, yeah, after some time Krishna is going to go to Mathura, kill Kansa, meet up with Vasudeva Devaki, go to Sandipani Muni's ashram, 64 days, learn all the 64 arts, come back. Then he's going to run away from Mathura, go to Dwarka, there marry 60,000 wives, 16,108 wives. I mean, does Krishna at one point in time feel that in this particular incarnation, you know, N plus one incarnation in this, since creation that I'm coming, let me marry 16,109 wives. And just for a change. Just 16,108, what about 16,109? Or let's say, you know, Maya Yashoda is chasing after Krishna, Damodar Leela, we just discussed that. And Krishna looks back and says, this is deja vu, you know, it feels as if I've done this before. Why should I run away from Maya Yashoda? Why don't I run after Maya Yashoda this time? Just for a change, you know, change of flavor. Or maybe, you know, maybe I just put my leg in her feet and make her trip. You know, so that for the next Bhagavatam class, Damodar Leela devotees are excited to hear it again. Maybe for a change, I do that. I mean, because then there has to be something new, there has to be some excitement. So doesn't Krishna feel the need to change the flavor of his enjoyment, make it new? Actually, Krishna never feels like that, because Yoga Maya is always giving him new flavors and new tastes. Yoga Maya does the task, and sometimes acharyas reveal to us what Yoga Maya has done. Sometimes they reveal to us what Yoga Maya has done in a previous pastime. Like Sanatan Goswami writes in his Toshini. This. After the Kaliya pastime, Sanatan Goswami writes that Krishna jumped up on Kaliya on his hood and rode to Mathura. You know, when he had to go to Mathura, he called up Kaliya once again and said, "Hey, I don't want to go with Akrura this time. Akrura has come, let his chariot go empty. I will jump up on you and ride up to Mathura." So the Kaliya pastime has taken place, same way. But Sanatan Goswami reveals how Yoga Maya brings about. And this seems interesting to us. Achcha, now this is different. This is very different. You know, Krishna is now jumping on Kaliya and riding to Mathura. Exciting for us. Aur kuch hai kya masala kahin par aisa? Any other work written by acharyas somewhere? Something more. No. The pastimes, here the underlying theme is meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. When Krishna is running out of fear from Ma Yashoda, he gets transcendental pleasure. Why do we say transcendental pleasure? Because the demigods also are watching Krishna's pastimes. They are not getting transcendental pleasure. They are sometimes in real fear. Will Krishna lose? And then when Krishna has won, they are in extensive jubilation. You know, they are jumping up with their dhotis flying in the air like that. But again, next pastime, and again they are feeling fearful. So their fear is born out of duality, whereas Krishna's fear is born out of love for Ma Yashoda and Ma Yashoda's love for Krishna, absolute love. And therefore, Krishna's pastimes are enjoyable for him, even though he may appear to be fearful. Whereas, in the material sense, because we are in dualities, day in and day out activities, regular routine activities, they become trying because we are fearful, because we are sometimes extensively jubilant. The acharyas also point out that when Krishna performs pastimes like this, what actually happens? And in one lecture, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami Maharaj recently, within the last 6 months when he was here, he mentioned from Jiva Goswami's commentary an interesting point, which we are going to address here. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Krishna book and also in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when Krishna appears, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, all the incarnations appear with him. Varadev is there, Nishingadev is there, Kirodakshaya Vishnu, he also comes and participates to some extent as a... Mahavishnu comes, Lord Narayan, all the incarnations, they come with Krishna, the whole personality, because they are expansions of Krishna, Krishna's expansions. So because all of these incarnations are there with Krishna, or for our understanding within Krishna, we can say like that. So what is happening in Braj pastimes is, Bhakti Vigyan Goswami mentioned this, taking Jiva Goswami's commentary, that when Krishna has started sucking the breast milk of Putana, he is simply drinking milk as a child drinks milk from a nursemaid. But because all the incarnations are within Krishna, something, a different dynamics is also happening. And the dynamics is, Putana has approached Krishna wanting to kill him. So one of the incarnations therein feels reciprocation with Putana's mood and reciprocates with her. She wants to suck Krishna's life, so that incarnation starts sucking Putana's life breath. These aspects of Krishna, where Krishna is killing the demons, is known as the Vasudev Krishna aspect of Krishna. This is what the acharyas point out. So Krishna, the wholesome original personality of Godhead, is an innocent child always. He is just a son of Nanda Baba. Always. That mood is never disturbed. So he is simply hanging on to the breast of Putana. He doesn't know what is happening. Suddenly he finds himself flying in the air 12 miles up. Because Putana has expanded herself. He simply, because a child, what does a child do? You pick up a child, the child will just grab onto your hand and hang on for dear life. And that is what Krishna is doing. Meanwhile, Vasudev Krishna is sucking out the life breath. Because Vasudev Krishna can reciprocate, relate to that. Vasudev Krishna sees, my opportunity is there. There is a sandhi, there is an opportunity, there is some seat available here, book it. Because in Braj you don't get many opportunities like that. So Ekele Ishwar Krishna Arasa, everyone is eager to serve Krishna. Krishna's mood should not be disturbed. Let us serve him. So Putana has come to disturb his mood, harm him. Vasudev Krishna immediately. So it appears as if Krishna, from an ordinary point of view, is like a multi-personality. At the same moment, he is the innocent child of Nanda Baba, and the same moment, he is Vasudev Krishna, death personified for the demons, simultaneously. Now, sometimes we may be able to do that. We should not think that because Krishna is a multi-personality, maybe suffering from some Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde syndrome. He's a schizophrenic, What if the Vasudev personality takes over and Krishna becomes destructive? Like sometimes, even in the material world, we have a reflection of it. We have this plastic smiles. How are you? But God only knows, the Paramatma only knows what is going on inside. What is the halahal poison we are cooking up inside? The Kalkud poison. But externally it is like that. But when the situation is really demanding and whichever mood is predominating, like someone very much exasperates us, we become angry with them and we really are going to get violent with them, and we receive a tap from behind. Maybe it is just a young child, maybe it is a younger brother, someone very close to us, innocent person, young person, child, taps us and we are like, hey, we are ready to hit that person also because it has overcome us. The other personality has taken over. That never happens with Krishna because no one takes over over Krishna's personality. It's not that after killing Putana, Krishna is like, hey, Yashoda, what? No, not like that. Krishna is still wandering around or simply hanging on the breast because he's just not even a toddler as they're not even able to crawl really in that sense. Still, somehow or the other, lying on the breast there, wondering what happened. I was there in the sky, now here. He's not even understanding sky and this. It's just too much space dimension for him. Dimensions are changing too fast for him. The only thing he understands is Maya Yashoda picks him up. He feels, okay, I'm comforted. Really comfort. So this is the dynamics of Krishna's personality, how the various incarnations are carrying out their functions. Now, someone may, the skeptics, they may say, not very good. I don't like this. He behaves like a child, but then this lady comes. Whatever it may be, whatever it may be. Killer? Come on. And Agasur, maybe he's a very dangerous person, but kill him by really becoming hot and ripping open his neck? Yes, he may have wanted to swallow and kill, but he didn't do that, did he? We don't know what the result could have been. But here, immediately kill him and rip open his neck? We don't like this. Killing is not good. My Krishna does not kill. My Krishna does not make violence. So there may be skeptics like that, who may not be happy and they may put forth their unhappiness. Therefore, another quality of Krishna that is there is that he is always pavitra. pure, absolutely pure and absolutely auspicious. Why does Krishna's killing also become auspicious? Because the motivation for Krishna to carry out any activity is not born out of animosity ever. There is no negativity in Krishna at all. He does not harbor any negative feelings for anyone. Therefore, even when he kills someone, it becomes auspicious. And we'll see how later on. How does Krishna not behave inimically towards others? What is the reason? Because Krishna is never an illusion. Krishna never just sees just the external bodily covering or the external mental setup that someone has. Krishna always sees the soul. He sees the potential of the soul. He knows the relationship with the soul, his eternal relationship with the soul. Therefore, he does not see Aghasur just as a python. He sees Aghasur as eternal soul. And therefore, there is no animosity. Pandita Samadarshana, Bhagavad Gita says. Why? Because they see the Paramatma in every living entity. So can't Krishna see the soul in every living entity? He does see that. And therefore, there is no animosity in Krishna ever. And hence, his saving or his killing are both auspicious. A rudimentary example in the material world is a person in a restaurant suddenly starts choking. Someone is a surgeon, jumps up, picks up a knife from the table. You know, what are they called as? What knives? Okay, a butter knife, and goes and really, you know, hanging over the neck of that person with his arm raised, ready to stab the throat. Very, very ominous sign. I mean, if someone were ready with a knife like that, butter knife or even a paper knife on my throat, I would be very, very anxious and fearful. But this person goes, another scene, somebody is just, you know, tremendous shock and is still on the floor. And again, there is a physician, takes out a needle and a syringe and goes like this, ready to pierce the chest. You know, someone would do that, wanting to pierce my heart, I would like be very. But one, where they're trying to stab the throat is to clear the airway for breathing. It's a tactical move. It is auspicious. I mean, not ultimately auspicious because the person has to live with that. The voice changes after that. So it is not absolute. But a very rudimentary example of how, even in this world, something that does not seemingly appear auspicious is helpful, beneficial. Krishna is absolutely auspicious because he doesn't have animosity for anyone. He sees the eternal relationship with the soul. Another point that we should understand is the Garga Samhita explains that Agha was the son of Sankhasura. Some say Sankhachura, Sankhasura. Very, very powerful, handsome, with a lot of qualities, became proud. One day saw Ashtavakra Muni. A couple of days back, I was really thinking, in today's world, if someone is born with some defect, some genetic defect, or if one is detected in the womb, then one of the options is given, terminated. And a life of suffering is worse than, you know, relieving that person from immediate death. What would have Ashtavakra's mother thought? No, 8 places bent. Just imagine that. And what did the child go on to become? One of the revered munis. Anyway, so Ashtavakra Muni was passing that way, he started laughing. Hey, what an ugly muni. He cursed him. He became a snake, an ugly snake, living on the earth. He said, please, I'm sorry. He said, okay, you become a snake, Krishna will liberate you by entering your mouth. And then you'll go back to the spiritual world. So the demons in Krishna Leela are not ordinary personalities. Each of them has a history. Some of the histories maybe we may be aware of, some of the histories we do not know. Nothing in Krishna Leela happens by accident. It is not that the Agha demon was just passing down the road from, he was going from Ahmedabad to Delhi, happened to stop in Mathura and said, hey, acha, ye Krishna hai, kya par dekhta hu, kya karta hai wo? And he was not just a passerby thinking, all right, let me show who's boss here. In one lecture, Prahladana Maharaj was saying, he is not some punk walking off the street onto the sets of Krishna's movie. Hey boss, got something for me? Not like that. So there's a definite history. Each of these personalities have been someone great previously. They were on a very, very auspicious path. Somewhere, there was a detour, a huge detour, a big offense, which was stopping them from reaching the ultimate goal. So now they come in Krishna's pastimes. That obstacle is removed and they zoom, go ahead, full speed. So these are very special pastimes where special personalities participate. Krishna comes from the spiritual world partially for enjoying his pastimes and also so that we receive benefit in this material world by becoming attracted to his pastimes, and even on the moral grounds, principles, we receive some useful messages from those pastimes. Principles that form a good society. Sometimes we hear that some of the pastimes that take place in the material world do not happen in the spiritual world. So in that sense, the material world pastimes are more sweet in that sense. As neophytes, we may start calibrating these pastimes. We may start thinking, Krishna is not happy in the spiritual world. Those pastimes do not really attract him. These are the pastimes which really attract him. Not that. So that is not correct. The spiritual world has got innumerable pastimes, unlimited pastimes, each one with newest of flavors, and each one of them perfectly attracting Krishna's attention. And just one of that is revealed by by Sanatana Goswami in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, there are rumors in the spiritual world that demons are coming. And Krishna assures them, don't worry, I will kill that. And sometimes Krishna assures them, don't worry, they have been killed. And they are assured of that. Then one day, Akrura comes into Vrindavan on a chariot. Krishna, you have to come to Mathura to settle some accounts. So Krishna gets up on the Akrura's chariot. And he goes to Mathura for an indeterminate amount of time. In Vrindavan, they hear the news. Kansa has been killed. This has happened, that has happened. And then Krishna returns back to Vrindavan. Then after some indeterminate amount of time in Vrindavan, again, Akrura's chariot comes. Because rumors have spread. Demons are there. Akrura comes. Krishna, you're needed in Mathura. Again, Krishna gets up on the chariot. He leaves. So there is Vipralambha and there is Sambhoga. There is Vipralambha, there is Sambhoga. So even in the pastimes in the eternal world seem to be repetitive, at least from this point of view. But they are so attractive to Krishna that Krishna is completely satisfied with those pastimes in the material, in the spiritual realm. He does not come here specially because he gets bored there or he needs something different in the material world. We are not so special in that sense. We should not take that reasoning to seem, oh, doesn't matter. What will we do in the spiritual world? Here it is better. Like that. We may get bored there. Sambhoga and Vipralambha is also there in the, is also attractive. It is the basis of all the activity in the material world also. You know, a hero meets a heroine goes away from him, he does something, villain comes in, bash, bash, doom, doom, and then the hero, heroine live happily ever after. Very attractive. This is the basis of all relationships. There has to be some Vipralambha to get the enjoyment of Sambhoga. Then there has to be some Sambhoga to feel the intensity of the Vipralambha. As Kaliyuga is progressing, becoming more attracted by the relationship of Sambhoga and Vipralambha, the attraction turns more towards the villainous aspect. One becomes attracted by the villains. Why? Kuch bhi ho, whatever happens. Even Ravana had good qualities, no? Even Karna had good qualities, no? Why that happens? So in that lecture that I was listening about, Prahlada Swami says, because in Kali Yuga it becomes very difficult to identify with all that is good, absolutely good. We cannot identify. We have to identify with that which is bad with some good qualities in it. That seems to be practical. That seems to be more, you know, relatable. Otherwise, that which is absolute good, like the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it is introduced, or if we can make a movie on Krishna like this, I don't think so, it would be rave reviews. Why? Because how do we identify with a person like that? How can we identify with Ram? It's easier to identify with Ravan. Bura tha, you know, he was bad. But still, you know, he had good qualities. He used to give charity, he used to give this, he used to give that. Prahlada Maharaj is saying that the person that seems attractive is someone who steals but brings it and gives it to his grandmother. You're happy now? Now your cancer will be cured. And we are like, this is relatable. We can relate to this. So, with such a mentality, if we directly hear Krishna's pastimes at 10th canto, obviously, it is not going to raise our interest. Definitely not. The affairs of the material world will be more interesting. Lust, pride, greed, anger, envy, illusion will be more interesting than that which can counteract that, that which is the elixir for it. Krishna Katha. You know? How many stories can we have about God, or, you know, even to make up anything funny or maybe keep the interest of you? But material world has innumerable stories for how to be courageous, not to be courageous, to be attractive, not attractive, pious, impious. People have so many jokes on it to be used. But Krishna Katha, how many different ways can we present? Therefore, Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas have said, without going systematically through the nine cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we just take the 10th canto without preparation, then they simply seem fairy tales or stories. Something that a grandmother tells her. Just stories. Whereas for the devotees in the spiritual world, they don't care much about what is the philosophy. They know it. It is Krishna's attractiveness when he does those activities that are very attractive. Like the cowherd boys, they looked at Krishna and they said, what do we have to fear? Just as he killed Bakasur, that is their philosophy. Even if Agasur kills us, we know he cannot kill us because he killed Bakasur. What can Agasur do us? For us, the philosophy is Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is Shad Aishwarya Purun. He has all the Aishwaryas. Krishna is the Lord of all Lords. And anyone who is inimical to Krishna or Krishna's devotees will definitely be destroyed. And when we speak like this, we are assured. Now you can speak about Agasur. But the devotees in Braj, they don't need that. They have the elixir. Krishna Manobhiramat. Bhavoshadha Shrotra Manobhiram. It is attractive to the mind. So, what is the preparation for that? The first nine cantos is the severe, stringent preparation for receiving the elixir, the 10th canto. Let's say, you know, all of us go downtown Bombay, we go to Nariman Point. Suddenly you find a huge snake, lower lip on the street, upper lip in the sky. Wouldn't we all take out our iPhones and our Samsung mobiles and click, 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 click? Because it is interesting. It is impressive. Right? Now, later on we will say it was just a model that was put. But don't we take it out and say, click, click, click. So, these demons are really impressive in Krishna Leela. And Therefore, Krishna's activities are also impressive and interesting. Even if we consider them to be mythology, even if we consider that, you know, I'm taking up this theme based on one statement that Prabhupada made in one of his interactions with the audience. Even if we think that it is all a story, it is a mythology, it is sufficiently impressive for us to take out our iPhones and click, take a photograph of it. Because it is so very impressive. An 8-mile log snake. Even trying to imagine it, you know, we'll put it on a canvas. An artist will be interested, a poet will be interested, philosophers will be interested, scientists will be interested to measure the length, the breadth, the depth. A biologist will be interested, such a long, you know, tongue, how many blood vessels will be there, what rate the blood will be flowing through that, what will be the functioning of the heart. Every single person would definitely be impressed by it. And therefore, even if it is considered to be mythology, it is impressive. But however, if it is true, imagine the impressiveness of it. Vrindavan, with its description in the Bhagavatam of the autumn season, the monsoon season, Vrindavan with its lakes, Vrindavan with its trees, Vrindavan with its dust, Vrindavan with the sounds of the peacocks and the parrots, is all extremely attractive, sufficient for us to take out our phones, our cameras and click on it. Katha ganam natyam gamanapi vanshi. This is Brahmaji who says. Every walk is a dance, every speech is a song in Braj. The original land, the attractive land of Vrindavan. So the practical application of what we discussed is, Krishna is very expert. He can get the demon killed, still he maintains the mood of being the son of Maa Yashoda. He can drink the milk, at the same time withdraw the poison and neutralize it. He can attract the attention of all the cowherd people in Braj, not just by his appearance and birth, but by simply being taken away by Putana, everyone gathered there. And through this pastime, he gives them nice aguru sticks for burning also, after Putana's. Daksha, expert at doing many tasks perfectly. Krishna is expert at winning over all of our hearts with its different flavors completely. Because that is dakshata. At the same time, there is a mugdhata aspect. He simply remains dependent on the love of his devotee. He doesn't know, I've killed Putana now. Now what do I do? Get up and walk back and say, okay, I'm back. He has to wait for Maa Yashoda to come and pick him up. So that is the mugdhata aspect of Krishna's innocence. So the practical application for all of us is, Krishna's pastimes are interesting. Pure pastimes, unadulterated pastimes. We do not need anything else to support those pastimes. No gyan, no karma. Pure pastimes of Krishna is attractive. However, to make it interesting for us, we need an ingredient. That is the ingredient of faith. If we just had faith that its pastimes are real, and if we had faith enough to put faith in the pastimes, and if we just had faith enough to believe that we need to go and enter into these pastimes, then we will definitely want to go there. We definitely want to go there and just whatever comes in Vrindavan, we just look at Krishna and say, Krishna is there. What do we need to fear? Let's go on. So just to make that effort to even want to go back to the spiritual world, we need to have faith that Krishna's activities and pastimes are real and they are interesting. They are attractive. And to top it all, just look at Krishna's pastimes. There's never a loser in Krishna's pastimes. This material world is generally either I lose or you lose or we both lose. Very rare win-win situation. Krishna's pastimes is always win-win situation. You know, after the demon is killed, it is not that all the cowherd boys say, Hari Bol, let us go and have a festival, and Krishna and the cowherd boys are enjoying happily ever after. That is not how the pastime ends. Krishna and the cowherd boys are enjoying, and Aghasur also gets Sarupya Mukti and enjoys with Krishna. Now, where do we find anything like that in this material world? However good one may be, at the point of death, finish. Material world is where we feel exploited always. People exploit us, other living entities exploit us, we exploit ourselves, time exploits us. So in the ultimate sense, there is always lose situation only. But here is the only opportunity to have a win-win situation. Because Krishna is pavitra. Krishna is all pure. And even the demons get benefit. And this really tops it up. So the final thing is, carry of a message is, maybe it is all a myth. Maybe Krishna seems to be a far away abstract idea. Maybe not. Still, as Srila Prabhupada said, the life of a devotee, the life of devotional Krishna conscious practice is itself so very nice. Why is that? And this is Prahladananda Maharaj's own realization and quotation that I'm giving. He says, because this is the only life that where there is a spark of hope. Hope of entering a realm where there is eternal joyfulness, where there is eternal relationship. Nowhere in the material world anyone can give us even that spark of a hope. It's a hopeless situation. So even if all of that seems to be abstract, doesn't matter. Just practicing Krishna consciousness, leading a life of devotional practice, itself is such a hopeful situation. You know, koi aayega. What is that? Hey Krishna, that song, everyone is here. It's a life of hope. There's no one else that can give us this life of hope. And what to speak if it is not a myth? What to speak? Actually, when we go and see Nanda Baba, we see Jashoda Mai, we see Shridama, we see Subal, we see Srimati Radharani, we see Rupa Manjari, we see Vilasa Manjari, we see the peacocks, we see Surabhi, we see the cows, we see Krishna, and we see all of this, all of them are welcoming us. What if that is all true? So we live a life of hope, which nothing else can offer. And ultimately, there is so much pleasure in the spiritual world. So these wonderful pastimes are being revealed in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto. Sometimes we may get depressed thinking that, Are Bhagwan Krishna can give so much to someone like Putana, she came to kill him. I don't want to kill him. I just want some Mahaprasad from him, that's all. Why doesn't Krishna give me the same benefit? That's a mistake. Because these personalities are not ordinary personalities, they have a history. Therefore, either we focus ourselves on becoming attracted to Krishna's pastimes, or the other practical application is we focus on our sadhana to become qualified as participating devotees or participating demons in Krishna Leela. We need the qualification to do that. And that qualification is offered by the Guru through his Guru Upadesh, through his accepting the disciple. He offers us the path, he offers us the key that opens the door to our ultimate fortune and guides us like that. So, the holy names is given by the spiritual master, is given by this sincere devotee. And the holy names is the key, and the holy name is Krishna. It is very attractive by itself. Nothing else is needed for the holy names. Yes, practically, very mature people have to use the intelligence in the application of it. But inherently, we should be convinced, or we should at least have the faith that yes, we would like to approach the holy name unalloyed, unadulterated, because it does not need anything else. It is pure. So Krishna is Daksha, Krishna is Pavitra, and is Mugdha also. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jai.